Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking light rail and new roads with Bill Thomas. He's executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing, because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Bill Thomas. He is the executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for inviting me, Sam. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. Right now, of course, RTC is in, you know, a discussion topic because the gas taxes have gone up, as they do each year, based on inflation. And it's something the voters voted for several years ago. And one of the things I like about this, and I'm not a big fan of taxes, period, as I think most of us are not, but I like it when government comes to me and says, you know, there is a specific tax for a specific purpose. And I think that, you know, Washoe County has some of the best roads of all the places that I travel around. You've done some pretty amazing projects with this gas tax money. Do you want to regale us with some of those projects?
Sure, glad to, Sam. So I think your observation is really one that, at least personally in my experience in government, is really true about the money that RTC Washoe uses. It's very specific in terms of how it can be used. The voters, when they approve the index fuel tax, which is the result or the reason why every year it gets adjusted without any kind of public vote or any action other than just simply administratively going through it, is that it gives us a predictable revenue source, which we can then use to actually plan for maintenance of our roads. And I think your observation of the status of our roads and the value of this tax is really borne out by some metrics that are used nationally. And those metrics are called Pavement Condition Index. And what that is we go out every 3 years, we look at all our regional roads, and we assess them. We look at them and see what's their state. Do they have cracks? Do they have potholes? Is the surface wearing off? And so that allows us then to schedule maintenance based on getting there just in time. Because if you wait too long to maintain, then you have to rebuild the whole road, and what might have been a $2 million project goes to $20 or $40 million. So we're very prudent, even though the voters have provided us generously with money to deal with transportation. We're very prudent at RTC how we spend it. The end goal is to make those dollars go farther and to get more road improvements. But I'm very proud of the fact that we're at about an 80 PCI, which is really phenomenal.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to explain PCI.
PCI, Payment Condition Index.
Oh, okay.
So that's this measurement that tells you how you're doing. You know, and the challenge for us as a entity that uses taxes is, I would describe it as, if we're doing our job right, people aren't aware of us. You know, generally people see when there's traffic backed up or there's a road that's fallen apart. And so the money we use on behalf of the taxpayers here in our community really allows us to get ahead of things and take care of issues such that people don't have to think about it. You're driving to work in the morning, you're not worried about or thinking about how the state of the road. And that really is a reflection of the investment of the community in the transportation system.
One of the other things too, when people say, oh, we should get rid of this, it's committed. There is bonding involved with this, correct?
That's correct. There's about a $300 million bond that was done some years back that we're paying off. So we have to pay about $26 million a year in debt payments. So even if we stopped it, we would still have that obligation to pay annually until, I think, for another 10, 15 years.
You know, one of the things that blows my mind is when you see the cost of building a road, it is unbelievable. Ed Lawson, the mayor of Sparks, was here recently. We were talking about, and I know that some of these projects we'll talk about are NDOT. Right. They're not all RTC. But widening I-80, going by the Sparks Nugget, widening I-80 going from Sparks to TRI, those numbers are stunning.
Yeah, I think the latest estimate I heard for the road to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center that NDOT's embarking on now is about $800 million. And, you know, in terms of a point of reference, all the money we bring in from the fuel tax is about $100 million. So that would be 8 years of every cent that we collect, which obviously wouldn't work because we have to take care of the roads we have today in addition to building them. So you're right. It's phenomenal, the cost increases. When I took this job 5 years ago, I would say our average project was about $40 million. When we're getting our bids back now for those similar projects, they're up to $80 million. And soon we'll probably be at $100 million for major road improvements in our community.
Okay, and is this cost of materials along with increase in labor costs?
It's all of it. Pretty much everything has increased. Materials, labor costs, the process, purchasing right away, everything's gone up.
So, you know, the tariffs, you know, everybody's been talking about, obviously, this year. Have you seen the effect of tariffs on your costs for future planning at this point?
We haven't seen it directly. You know, if it's baked in, for example, materials that go into concrete, it's not obvious to us that that's what's doing it. It's holistically. If we found one thing, it would be easier to attack. But what we do in our world is we work to make sure that we're buying just enough on our road projects and not over spending and making sure that we're creating gold-plated roads, but we're really relying on the construction industry in terms of the cost. We don't do the work ourselves, we bid it out. And so we're basically in a position where whatever the cost is at a point in time we put a road out is what we have to pay. Now, we're a lot more prudent these days because of these costs to make sure that we don't do roads just for the sake of doing them.
Did the RTC ever do that?
I don't think they did, but
I don't think so either.
I think there's points where a project was far enough down the line that it had to go forward, or there's feelings like it had to go forward. And I think because of the cost increases and the magnitude of these projects, we're just a little more sensitive in terms of actually getting that hard go on the project. And we've actually done some things differently now where we spend our money early on to get a real good handle on the cost of the project before we launch it and say we're going to do it, which means we, you know, have to do more communication to tell the public that from the very beginning we're studying it. And when we study it, we look at it to see what is the problem that we're trying to fix, and then we pay some money to actually dig in deeper, because as you can imagine, these road projects are very complex. And what on a quick look at, like widening a road, might seem like a fairly simple thing is often not. There's a lot of things most people don't understand how much is in the road. The road itself is full of water, sewer, power, fiber, everything you can think of. So every time we touch a road, we have to deal with all those things.
Now, do you do design build or is it all planned in advance?
We pretty much, well, we do the planning in terms of conceptual planning to really vet and merit and find a merit of a particular project. And most of our time is spent on the planning and is prioritizing. When we look at it from a lot of different ways, safety, traffic volumes, the benefit to a particular neighborhood, so that we can select the right project. As you can imagine, when you're spending $40 to $50 million, we don't want to be an agency that does it on a whim, nor that it's just a kind of knee-jerk reaction. These major projects really need to have a lot of thought before we get started. So we do that kind of level of planning early on. And then as the projects advance from a concept to what exactly the road's going to be, we invest money to get a preliminary design. In the past, sometimes what would happen is once the project was a go, regardless of the cost, you just keep going. We've changed our approach to now incrementally make the decisions. The risk, of course, is that you can spend some money on design and not build a road immediately, but I feel like it puts us in a better place to know what we're getting into. The last thing we need to do when we're trying to get all these roads done at the same time is to not really understand, you know, which projects have the risk of doubling in budget, because that, as you can imagine, has a waterfall effect on all the other projects. There's only so much money to be invested. If we want to get more roads per dollar of tax money, then we have to be real strategic on how we spend that money.
And how far out do you look? Because one of the things I like about RTCs, airports, state demographers is that you're looking 10, 20, 30 years out in the future. Is that about the timeline?
Yeah, we do a 20-year scan of what's needed. We will do build-out scenarios, which in other words, when the whole community is built out, what would it look like? But our true planning, because the challenge in any planning is you don't really know what's going to happen, right? Who knows? Who would have known 20 years ago about electric vehicles and some of the other things that happened?
So or Tesla, for example.
Or Tesla, yes. A lot of these things that are that happen as a result of our dynamic society we live in. So we do a 20-year just as kind of a benchmark to see what the future could hold. And then most of our activity in terms of what the public sees going on is really 5-year. And that's kind of the meat of the plan. We start with 20, where we list everything we can see, and then we fine-tune that back to 5 years, because most of our projects take 3 to 5 years to get done. You know, it's a lot of design, it's a lot of analysis, it's a lot of communicating with people that'll be impacted, and the construction projects themselves often take multiple years to get done.
All right, so at this point, the lands bills have not gone anywhere. Congressman Amedee on the program has talked about going back in and reviving the Northern Nevada bills. He feels that he has some ability to do that at this point because of his cooperation with what's going on in Congress right now. And, you know, what do you see as far as the growth goes? Because you're seeing this tremendous growth, for example, in Sparks, but no land. Again, Mayor Lawson, very concerned about that. But, you know, if the lands bills go through, we're going to see an increase in work out in Fernley. We're going to see a lot of increase all the way around. What do you see the population growth being over the next 5 to 10 years? We're booming. I mean, right. There's no two ways about it.
Well, there's no doubt that we are a desirable place for business and for people. And that's reflected in the population growth, even through, you know, the pandemic and recessions and everything that happens to really test your mettle in terms of a community. So I think from the transportation standpoint, something we've really been keeping an eye on, and I know so NDOT has also, is what's going on between the Reno-Sparks area and Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center and Fernley. And I think it's best described as, you know, those are our most significant job growth areas. And there's really no housing out there, nor do I personally believe as a land planner we'll be able to provide the amount of housing we need out there in a timely manner. So that means, you know, ultimately the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, which I've heard is planned for 35,000 jobs, is likely going to be serviced just like it is now with 80-some% of the people coming from the Reno-Sparks area. So we really have to look closely as transportation professionals on how are we going to do that. My belief is that, and this is what we're doing, we look at every option. We have a study right now where it's been funded primarily by RTC, but it also includes state money and money from Story County and money from both Tesla and Panasonic to evaluate commuter rail service. So the study really will look at what it would take to be successful at moving people from Reno-Sparks into the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center and back, because obviously that would take all those people that are driving on that road, which is the single point of access for that business park, a different way to get there that doesn't impact not only the travelers, but also the freight that goes on I-80. I think a lot of people don't realize until they're really on the road driving how much freight goes on I-80 and how many trucks are on I-80.
All right, so let me ask you this. Is this a route from South Reno to TRI that you're referring to?
So,
or is that one of the
that's one of the options. There's really four things that have been evaluated. There's the commuter rail, which I will share with anybody who's interested in following, is going to be the most expensive. There's no two ways about it. If we actually get to the point where we can define, which we're trying to, what would it take to do it, the issue is going to be the cost.
And what's the ballpark right now?
I haven't seen a number, but my speculation is probably hundreds of million.
Hundreds?
Yes. And the other alternatives, one is Interstate 80 widening, which NDOT is progressing with very quickly. And they got, I believe, almost $300 million from our two senators. And they're working to come up with the gap funding to finish that. But that project in and of itself, you know, is going to take a long time and can be very complex.
And what, it's a $1 billion project?
Yeah, close. I think it's in the $800 million range. So that would be the second alternative, which is the one that's actually underway. The other two are a south road, which would come off of South Meadows, basically climb the hills in southeast Reno and connect into the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center on the south end of that. So basically go through the land that sits between South Reno and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. That road, the NDOT did a study, and it was about a $1 billion road. So the fourth alternative, which is one that kind of came up in the context of the lands bill, is a north road that would connect Sparks to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And we're actually exploring that right now. We've started the design process, and the board directed us to go engage BLM about getting a road to go through there. Preliminary numbers that we're seeing on that road is around $300 million. So it'll be the least cost in terms of what's on the table right now and probably the one that can be done the quickest. But even that road is not free of its own issues, which is it goes across federal land. It's going to be a new road. I don't think there's many places in the community where people like new roads connecting to their neighborhoods. So that's a hurdle we'll have to get over. But I would say from the standpoint of the community's concerned about it, which I think is legitimate and real, we're doing everything we can to keep all four alternatives, moving forward. Right, hopefully get to a place where we can get an answer. Like, what do we really want to do as a community?
Okay, so if you were to do the Sparks Road, which, of course, Mayor Lawson would love, can you get, without having a lands bill, can you get permission from the BLM to get the right-of-way that you would need there?
Yes. There's a process today through BLM where we can get a roadway easement across their property. And it's independent of the lands bill.
Okay, so that's a huge advantage right there.
Exactly.
Okay, and how are the discussions going?
We're still in the early stages of figuring out the route. And once the route's done, then we will start the conversations with the affected parties. It's going to, no matter how we slice it, it's going to be very impactful to BLM because that's most of the land we'll be crossing with whatever route we go is BLM. The lands bill would have been a quicker way to get it done. The way we're going now with the traditional easement may or may not be quick. The issue is always, the wild card is always the environmental studies. What level of study are we going to have to do?
And that's what, a two-year process at least?
It can be up to 3 years. I saw a study the other day where on average they these environmental impact statements run 1,700 days. So, 3.5 years and cost $1 million. The beauty of this particular road that we're looking at is there's already a gas line and there's already a fiber line. So we're hoping the fact that both of those had to be explored environmentally before they were put in, putting a road very close to it should be a little easier than going across virgin land that nobody's ever touched before.
But there's not already an easement there.
There's not a road, no.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Bill Thomas after this timeout.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. there's a lot on the line.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link, our plans are made for your plans.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are train wreck.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bill Thomas. He's the executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. You mentioned at the beginning light rail. The cost is high. How realistic might that be?
Well, it really wouldn't make sense to put in a new rail line for that particular movement, which is, you know, moving people. The way we're envisioning it, it's a commuter route. So it would be morning and afternoons, people to and from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The only way that it's really probably viable is to use existing UP railroad tracks.
And then you've got a big problem because UP has priority.
Exactly. It's their rail. So we have to work through them, and we have to show them the benefit to them. But that's probably the only way it's going to happen. The study we're doing right now is very much contingent upon a conversation with UP. So we hired a firm that's nationally known and knows how to work with the railroad. So it's going to be very interesting over the next 3 months to find out what we learn.
Yes, and I will have you back to further that conversation. Let's take one more quick break and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
It happens. And when it does, there's UMC Quick Care.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bill Thomas. He's the executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. You know, you were talking about objections to new roads. And in recent memory, Veterans Parkway was one that there was just a huge kerfuffle about. It's going to destroy the environment. It's going to destroy the wetlands. It's going to destroy this, that, and the other. And now people drive on Veterans Parkway and say, hey, this is a wonderful road. I didn't know this even existed. And what a fabulous way to get from Sparks to South Reno. The other example I would give is years ago, I'm talking probably 40 years ago now, there were giant fights against the McCarran Loop, which is equivalent for our friends in Southern Nevada of the 215 in Las Vegas, where people in Lake Ridge didn't want that road to go all the way around. If that had not been pushed forward by the people who were in office in those days, Reno would be a disaster. You wouldn't be able to get anywhere at this point in time, if Reno was even what it should be today. So my suggestion is for any PR campaign, use Veterans Parkway and McCarran as the examples. It's good.
Yeah, the old hash lane.
Yes.
I remember when I moved here, thanks to Jerry Hall, who was the original executive director.
The great Jerry Hall, yes.
Yes. You're right. It's amazing. And right now, I know because I live in that quadrant of the city that particularly when things happen on the freeway, this is the part that people don't recognize. Having that secondary way to get around is so critical. A lot of people use McCarran now to get around the impacts on the freeway, spaghetti bowl issues, and I think it's valuable. I know for me, when I go around town, I jump on McCarran.
We have so much more to talk about, but we're out of time. Please come back soon.
Thank you.
I would appreciate it. All right, and we'll be back after this timeout.
Carson Valley, it's your place.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Thanks for watching and listening.